Good morning, you that have joined us for the Bible Sunday School lesson on the radio. We appreciate so much you joining us week after week and being a part of this ministry. I was in a church yesterday, and some of the folks said, I don't know what my name was. And I told them, they said, well, you one of them folks that preaches on the radio on the Sunday School lesson. So you guys, we are well known.
We're well known. That's right.
Some folks, at least, anyhow. But we're grateful that you've joined us. We're going to be finishing up a lesson today from this past quarter, from the winter quarter, and it's been on suffering. Today's lesson comes from 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 18. So if you were to be at home and don't have a Sunday school book, or then you can open your Bibles. If you're driving down the road, just leave them closed. Just trust us. We don't want you to run into the back of Pat, especially when he leaves.
I appreciate that.
And we'll tell you in a minute who Pat is. But we're going to be studying, how can I honor God in my suffering? For about 6 weeks now, we've been studying on suffering. And just because we're Christian does not remove us from that suffering that is ours. So let's tell you who we are. We're going to get started studying God's Word. Who are you, sir?
I'm Mike Hall, pastor at New Salem Baptist Church, Reform, Alabama.
And this is the famous Pat we've been talking about. And
who are you? I'm Pat Powell, pastor of Gordo First Baptist Church here in Gordo, Alabama.
And I'm Brandon Pinion, and I pastor at Moore's Bridge Baptist Church.
And I'm Herschel Owen, from Gordo, Alabama, and I am proud to be a part of Gordo, Alabama. I'm telling you. But anyhow, and I am also proud that we've been privileged to come to you over the radio and to share God's Word with you. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to start studying today's lesson. Brother Pinion, would you lead us in prayer?
Our Father, we're so grateful today to be part of this time. And I pray your guidance through the Holy Spirit that we might say something that would point individuals to Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm.
And that they might respond and be saved by grace. But our Father, I pray that we'll impart truth that will last in the lives of those who are listening. Glorify yourself to those who need you in a very special way. We've had a lot of deaths around Gordo. I don't know about other places. But we have, and I pray for the families that are involved. I want you to know that we're also concerned about those individuals that are hospitalized and
yes,
in need. And I pray your guidance and grace in their lives as well as you guide the doctors.
Yes, Father.
Be with us as we deliberate on this lesson and give us wisdom beyond ourselves, all inspired by the Holy Spirit of God in Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay, so in the way of introduction, no matter what comes our way, no matter the circumstances that come, they give us an opportunity to glorify God.
Amen. It's true.
Because
absolutely.
People are watching our lives more than they're reading their Bibles in many cases. And like somebody has said, not original with me, but I'd rather see a sermon any day than to hear one.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's what God expects us to do. When we're in pain, it's hard to do this. Our attention is drawn to the pain. It can just be a splinter in your finger. But I'll tell you, that thing will come to you over and over during the day, and you'll be drawn to that in spite of maybe other things that are much more important than that. But we got to deal with pain, because pain is a part of our life. And even when it becomes central in our thinking and our acting, we still want to honor God. So honoring God usually comes somewhere down the line of importance when you're in pain. But if we could see beyond our suffering, we could see how our attitude could be a witness to others as they see how we react to the suffering as we trust in God. In a world where most people focus on their self, a God-trusting faith can point others to God. I've outlined this in three different sections. First of all, Paul's attitude about suffering. He's writing to the Corinthian church, and he shares his attitude about suffering. Paul's assurance about death and suffering. And then Paul explains in the last section that we are able to stand strong because of faith in a future glory that will be free of pain. So, Brother Mike, you are sitting to my right, and that person gets the honor of reading the scripture.
Okay. We'll read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. But we have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh.
Okay. Now, to begin with, Paul begins talking about treasure. And he gives us the word, his word, on treasure. And I think to understand that seventh verse, I'm going to read the sixth verse, and then I'm going to ask Brother Pat, you be meditating and praying up and be ready to share something about it. But in the sixth verse, just ahead of this one we started with, Paul says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now, with that verse in mind, what do you think he's talking about there, about that treasure that he mentions, Pat?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, obviously, people oftentimes think of treasures in terms of material goods or things that would be valuable in the eyes of the world. But I think in this context, Paul has in view the treasure that is the gospel of Jesus, you know, and the life that is found in Christ, and to realize that it is greater than anything this world would have to offer, and to see it as a treasure, I think is a great way to think about the gospel, that it's more than just a message, it's more than just news, it's more than just words. It is actually something to be cherished and valued and held dear. It's a treasure. So
yeah, treasure.
I think that's what he has in view in this context here.
Yeah.
And, we all have a tendency to take too many things in our lives for granted.
Yes.
Yeah.
And too many people, I think, you know, and I think that's what exactly Paul's saying, that we don't treasure the good news, the gospel of Christ. We don't treasure our salvation
right.
as highly. In many cases, I was talking with a guy just last night who's discovered he's got cancer and all of that. And you know, my first thought was, because I know him well, and my first thought was to witness to him about Christ, about his mm-hmm. salvation. And he just said, "Oh, I'm fine. You know, everything's fine." And I wanted so badly to say, but it don't show.
Right, right.
And I mean, you know, how
but when you happen? when you treasure someone or you treasure something, you don't have to gut that out or force
right,
it. You know,
exactly.
it's something that obviously is near and dear to your heart.
That's right.
You know, if you treasure right. your family, you treasure these relationships, you know, you don't have to twist somebody's arm to get them to
absolutely.
Talk about that and right. share about that.
It's going to show some way.
Absolutely. There was somebody, a question I thought was really good, was even in talking to people about the relationship with God, is not leaving it at simply, do you believe God? Do you believe in God? Or do you even believe in Jesus? But to use that question, even treasuring as a gauge for our own spiritual, you know, temperature, if you will, but others as well, is, are you treasuring Christ? Because that carries with it an idea beyond just, yes, I agree with that, or I believe that in an intellectual way, but it's something, no, that is near and dear to who I am.
Great, great value.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something I'm serious that I think is missing even among a lot of church members and maybe even us preachers as well.
Yeah.
Is that we just take that, you know, that wonderful gospel, that sweet, precious salvation that we have, which is the greatest treasure of all, but we just, you know, we talk more about our other things than we do about that.
We just take it for granted.
You know, okay, the Lord took care of that and I'm fine, everything's fine. Well, that's good, it should be, but I just don't think we treasure it the way. And that's what Paul, I think, is telling. We've got this treasure in earthen vessels, but we do. We've got it while we're here because it's going to help you get through hell sideways.
Yeah.
And that's what I was trying to get the guy to understand last night is, hey, look, you know, you found out the doctor had just called. You know, he just got the message. And I said, look, the one thing that's going to get you through this, it's not going to be the doctors and the nurses and the hospitals and all this other stuff. They're going to do the best they can.
Right.
But if you're going to be healed of this, and if you're going to be able to get through this, you know, in this earthen vessel, then it's going to take God. God's going to be the one who's going to make that determination. Ultimately, you need to get closer to God.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Well, you know, and people, I thought about when you started what you were saying there. Years ago, I was witnessing to a guy. He had lost everything he had gambling. I mean, his home, his business, everything. And he had lung cancer after that. And I went to see him, and he was on oxygen. And I had the oxygen right there by him. And so I asked him, I said, I called him by name, and I said, do you know for a certain fact that you asked the Lord to forgive your sins and that mm-hmm. your faith right. is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that whatever happens is the end of this? He said, I'll tell you right now, preacher, I'm as good to go to heaven as you are.
And he had sat
in a very haughty,
right.
angry way. And he pushed the oxygen back and pulled it out of his nose and lit up a cigarette. And I thought, well, we're fixing to find
blow
out
us all up.
Just a minute, we're going to find out which one's ready. We're fixing to go.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, that left me very much concerned. Because I believe when we become a Christian, we don't become perfect. We don't become an angel, and even after death, don't become an angel. But I think there's a change in a fellow's
Absolutely.
Attitude, and when he's talked to about the Lord, he has a better appreciation than just saying, "Preacher, I'm good as you are to go to heaven." He appreciates the treasure that is.
Yes.
Because that's something you cannot buy.
Yeah.
You cannot just accidentally find it. The Bible tells us that if God don't draw us, we won't come. And
that's right.
If we don't go by the way of the cross, we're not going to go.
You're
not
going to go. That's right.
So, anyhow, Paul is talking about now, it's strange here, and Brother Penny, I want to get you prepared here. But not only is he talking about his treasures, but he's talking about his troubles. Now, usually when a man's got troubles, he don't necessarily linger on salvation. He won't talk about his troubles. And
Paul had a cotton basket full of them.
He did.
He always did.
Everywhere you look, he had been in some kind of trouble because of the gospel book. One of the things that I want to point out, Herschel, in that verse 7 is, when you come to the end of that earthen vessels, he said that the excellency of the power may be of God. In other words, Paul is saying now, you're going to probably have trouble.
Definitely.
And they're going to come to you.
In baskets.
In baskets, yeah, everywhere you look. But he said the excellency is going to be of God and not of us.
Exactly.
And that's where we miss the boat a lot of times in looking for what God has done or what needs to be done. Let God do it and give God glory for it and see if it doesn't work out.
But what about all that trouble he's talking about? In verses 8 and 9, Rapinia, what all trouble is he talking about?
Well, he's talking about trouble he got into for carrying the gospel and for witnessing of the grace of God and the love of God to the individuals that he come in contact with wherever it was. I mean, listen, if it was a snail out there in front of Paul, and he thought there's a chance of getting that snail saved, he had put a witness on it.
Right.
And he put witness on everything and everybody, and got him in trouble.
Well, you know, I look at that too. We all as pastors run up on bad situations, have them ourselves as well as others around us. And people oftentimes, especially children, you know, they'll ask you hard questions.
Yeah.
I had a little child ask during this recent death that I was dealing with a church member, and, you know, why does Papa have to suffer like this? And her question was, she said, "I have prayed for him." And I said, "Well, that's wonderful, darling." And the kid's like first grade, you know. And she said, "Well, I prayed for my other uncle and he got well, but my papa's not getting well." And that's tough questions to answer. But when you think about it, you know, if you had a nice, beautiful automobile out here and that thing was just as good as it could be, and right down the road there's a mechanic down there, got a nice shop, and you know he can fix that car. But your car never breaks down. How do you know he can fix that car? Mm-hmm. You know, your car never has any trouble. It never has any problems. You just sail along just enjoying your car and taking your car for granted and all that good stuff. So to me, sin is the reason we have these problems. Sin is the reason we have suffering and death and troubles on every side. The reason we're perplexed and persecuted. All of that comes simply because of sin. And the only one that can deal with that sin is God.
Amen.
Now, all we can do is wallow in it and suffer in it unless God intervenes and deals with it. So when your pretty shiny car breaks down, you take it down there and that old boy fixes it, then you know from then on, you know, and he comes a treasure to you. So all I'm saying is that's a simple way of saying we are in these earthen vessels, and these earthen vessels are going to suffer because of the sin that we bring into our lives. But the truth is that God is there. And I'm telling you, I love those verses 8 and 9 where he's talking about all the troubles and all the distressing and the perplexing and persecution and cast down. All of that, but he always comes back with that but.
But not.
That's right. Yep. But we're not distressed. We're not perplexed. We're not in despair.
We're not destroyed.
And best of all, in my opinion, we're not forsaken.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know, God is never going to leave you nor forsake you.
Absolutely. So, to sum it all up with so far, Paul's attitude about suffering is that he's not majoring on his suffering. He could have, because the fellow that's surrounded, if he's got troubles on every side, he's totally surrounded by suffering and troubles. But he says, I'm not distressed. I heard about in World War II, the American soldiers were surrounded. And there was just a small detachment of them. So they called back to their commander and said, we've got enemy on the front, enemy on the back, enemy on both sides. Sir, what do we do now? And the answer came back, you go forward.
There you go.
You go forward.
Absolutely.
You go forward.
Absolutely.
And when we get our troubles and our stresses and our sicknesses and all those things that we face, and misunderstandings, people don't know really our hearts a lot of times, then what are we going to major on? Which way are we going to try to go? And Paul says, when I got them all around me, surrounding me, and I'm up to my eyebrows and alligators, so to speak, I'm not despairing. I'm not despairing, but I am rather trusting. I am all those things that you said he was not. He was not. And Paul's attitude about suffering is sometimes a lot different than mine, because I've had a granddaughter that's had Crohn's disease, diagnosed at 15, and only God knows how I have suffered.
Yeah, sure.
And you know, I've told folks, don't worry. That's easy said.
Mm-hmm.
That's easy said. But I have learned. I've learned through the storms. God can be trusted. When the when the Ford red truck breaks down and the mechanic fixes it, then you know
he can fix it.
And so God,
that's right,
has been working on the job. She'd been had the Crohn's disease over a year, and everybody tell me that just a sad situation. What it was, man, my heart broke. She hadn't been able to go to school, and but I said I'm going to trust God.
Absolutely.
And just recently, she went to a doctor at UAB in Birmingham, and he said physically that her Crohn's is in remission. She had a problem that was causing her to have a severe headache. That's in remission. So now it's just getting her faith and trust and confidence back up. And I said, praise God.
Amen.
He still was there. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. Mm-hmm. And how you gonna react then? Well, I tell you, I hope that I can react like Paul did. I hope I can look at suffering. He didn't look at it as God hating him. He could have said, oh God, why are you doing this? Man, I've been your missionary. I've gone to these countries. I'm talking to the Corinthians, and they wasn't necessarily a good fundamental church at this point in time. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to witness to them and deal with them, and you letting me suffer like this? But that was not his attitude whatsoever.
Right.
He was willing.
Let me ask you a question. He says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, in verse number 10.
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't he talking about his own body? Bearing the Lord Jesus.
And
that's the reason he became victor over the perplexities and the destruction and all of the other problems, was the fact that the Lord Jesus was with him. And that's where we ought to be, and that's where you're talking about, Herschel.
Absolutely. And he said, I'm looking at it not, oh, pity me and pity party and oh me and I've done all these good stuff. He said, I count it a privilege. I always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Man, I'm aware of his dying, his suffering, that the life also of Jesus, the life that he lived, the life of Jesus, might be made manifest in my body. So rather than going around with a long face and despairing and defeated and all of that, he said, I'm bearing this suffering so that I can show Jesus. I can show.
You know, a good summation on that verse to me is that because he died for me, I can live for him.
Right.
Yeah,
my life should reflect the fact that, number one, he took care of my salvation. I don't have to worry about that. You know, I have believed in him. The Bible simply says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say you may be saved. He says you shall be saved.
Right.
And Jesus said, then he says, I give unto you eternal life, not temporary life or not life till the next time you mess up. He said, I give you eternal life. Jesus has took care of my salvation. So I know by that, I've got, you know, he's got this, all right?
Amen.
So now I can go about my life living to shine the light of Christ. I can be his ambassador. The life of Jesus now can be manifested in my body because he gave his life on the cross for me there. And so I don't have to go about worrying about, Pat, whether or not I'm saved. I don't have to worry about going through this old world, well, I might slip up today and God throw me out, you know, and I'm going to hell again.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I got this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you go out here. That's what he means by that wonderful treasure.
Yeah.
That I don't have to look behind me. When Paul talks about the armor, whole armor of God, everything he talks about is on the front side of your body. You're going forward. You ain't got to worry about your back. God's got your back, all right? You ain't got to protect that anymore. God's got that. Your sins are covered. They're forgiven. You're saved. Now move forward. But if you don't treasure that, if you don't treasure that salvation, then you're not going to reflect the light of Christ like you would otherwise.
Yeah.
You're going to go out here and act just like everybody else. And I have to say it. If you walk around in this old world living your life as if Christ doesn't exist, then you're lost as a goose. You're not going to heaven. you've never been saved, and you better get on your knees and put your faith and trust in Christ today, because you cannot walk around in this world saved and born again and live like hell and live in sin and not be convicted by the Holy Ghost every day you live, because he lives within you. So all I'm saying is, Paul says, I have the dying of Christ that's took care of my sin. I'm saved, and I know I'm saved, and I'm going to be saved. But I now reflect the life of Christ because it's such a treasure to me to know that he's done that for me. I'd give anything for him, and I'll live anything for him.
And he did.
And he did.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we must also.
I saw these two things there. One day I was in a church, and they had on their screen had a saying, Jesus left heaven to come to suffer for you, but you won't get out of bed on Sunday morning to come worship him.
Right.
And I thought, well,
something wrong with that picture.
Yeah.
How true.
Something wrong with that picture.
How true. That Jesus would do what he did, but it's my ingrown toenails bothering me too bad for me to go to the house of God.
Well, I think that's the contrast, too, between the treasure and then the earthen vessel.
Right.
You know, there's such a contrast there, and it kind of speaks against some of the prosperity teaching that is so rampant these days, because what we want to say is, well, if I have this treasure, then I shouldn't be troubled. I shouldn't be perplexed. I shouldn't be persecuted. I shouldn't be cast down. And people look to their circumstances for a sense of contentment and peace, when in reality, that's found by looking to the treasure.
Amen.
And holding tightly to that.
Precisely.
And so, you know, in my own experience, if you're looking to your circumstances for comfort or assurance, you're not going to find it there.
No.
You got to look away from yourself and away from your circumstances to the Lord. And as you do that, you're able to have all of the but not.
That's
because
right.
The reality is, I mean, we're told throughout Scripture, we're going to be troubled.
Yeah.
We're going to experience hardships.
All
who desire to live godly will be persecuted. And Paul touches on this theme over and over again, the idea that, okay, so it seems that we have this great message, this powerful gospel, which is able to save everyone who believes, and yet here I am carrying it around in a vessel that is prone to sickness and illness and decay and everything else. And it's purposeful because it helps the world see that it's not about us.
Right.
It is about God. And the treasure is not us, but it is Christ. And when we live in this kind of way, then our lives reflect that. It matches up with the words and the message that we preach.
Little boy was talking to his aunt. She was going through all kind of things, suffering and all. And he said, Aunt, Annie said, I don't know how you do it, living like you do under the circumstances. She said, Son, I don't live under the circumstances. My Savior put me on top of the circumstances.
That's right. Amen.
I live above the circumstances.
Yes, sir.
And that's what Paul has said, and y'all have said. And
that's right.
Paul has said, is it the circumstances? They're not bigger than my Christ.
No, I live in Christ.
And in this case, even in this lesson, they actually become the context where you are able to honor and glorify God.
That's right.
You know?
Right.
It's kind of like a woman with massive amounts of jewelry.
Yeah.
She's going to want to show it.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow or other. I mean, she's not going to put it in a treasure chest at the house and leave it all the time.
Hide it away.
She'll wear a little different stuff every time her goes out.
Get them sparkles.
But the same thing, Pat, that you was talking about, that the treasure is going to be displayed.
That's right. Absolutely.
Somehow or other. And in Paul's case, it was the Christ.
Yeah.
And he displayed him.
Amen.
Everywhere he went with anybody he could get a chance.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder, I wish I could say that that's always been the way that I've handled suffering and hardships, but I hadn't done that.
No,
I've sometimes I moaned and groaned and all of that.
Oh, woe is me.
And but that wasn't Paul, and yet I hadn't suffered anything like Paul did. Yeah.
Not
and I ain't never been put in those stinking caves.
None of us have. None of us have.
And his directly because of his testimony. If you'll just hush, You know, you will leave you alone. Yeah. Well, listen, Satan tells you that every day. You know, if you're just hush, I'll show you all this wonderful, pretty toys you can play with and all this sweet little wonderful. You better not believe that lie.
No.
You better not, because he has one purpose in mind, mm-hmm. and that's to destroy you, destroy your family, and everything that you hold dear.
If he could, he'd take our treasure away from us.
He would, if he could.
If he could,
that's absolutely the truth. And if you don't have it, he'll do everything he can to keep you from getting it, too.
But somebody would say, well, Paul at this time was probably living in a nice hotel and had a bunch of folks waiting on him.
Don't you believe it.
What happened, was it in Acts 16 where the Bible said about Paul and Silas being beaten and thrown uh-huh. in the prison? And
At midnight,
what, they was a crying and a moaning.
No, praying and singing. Right? Praying and singing, testifying of the Lord that they loved. Wow.
And the jail, the earthquake came and the doors on the jail opened up and all the prisoners escaped, and they wrote a letter back later saying, thank you for opening the jail and letting us get away. And what is that? When
not
the jailer came back, he would have killed himself. Paul said, don't harm yourself. We're all still here. Yeah. To the last one, murdering John and thieving Bob and all them folks, we're
right here.
Why do they stick around? Well, I'm going to tell you, if I could see a man whose back was beaten half off of him, and instead of groaning and moaning like I probably would do, was singing praises to God and having an old-time revival meeting him and Silas, some power opened this jail up, I'd stick around and see what's going to happen next, too.
Absolutely.
And don't you think the world would do that if we...
Well, they will.
We would handle it like Paul did.
They will. It's amazing to the common world out there to see the suffering of God's people when they turn to Christ and they glorify God even through it. You've witnessed, you guys all have, people who've had serious illnesses and suffering and dying. I've got a girl in my church right now that, honest to goodness, I've told her, if I could just put my arms around her and hug her and heal her, I'd do it in a heartbeat. But I've watched her for the last, 4 years close to it. As she just, the cancer that they keep fighting it, and it just will not stop. It just relentlessly, slowly but surely, just keeps moving. And now she's to the point to where she's in constant pain, just almost all over her whole body. And you look at that and you just want to say, dear God, why? You know, why? Well, I know why.
No.
I know why. It's not because of some sin she's committed, don't get me wrong. But it's because of sin in the world. It's because death and dying comes because of the sin of mankind. And I look at her and she smiles. She loves God. And her whole thing is, okay, who can I pray for today?
Yeah.
You know, who can I call today? Who can I? And I'm like, you know, come on, complain a little bit. You know?
Yeah, do like I do.
Yeah. But she'll say, I'm in a lot of pain today, but, you know, all right, what's going on mm-hmm. to church? Who can I pray for, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, baby girl, let me pray for you, you know, which I do. But, man, that to me, she just loves God. She just can't wait to see him, you know. And she'll say, well, just pray for me today that I can just go to sleep and not wake up, you know. And I'm like, wow. You know, that's to me that's when you get somebody's attention. Got my attention.
Yeah.
And I love the Lord too, but it sees the glory of God through her suffering.
And recently I visited a man who was suffering. He was bedridden, most terribly suffering. And I told him, I said, I'm so sorry you haven't gone through this. But he said, Brother Herschel, there's better days are coming.
Amen.
Better days coming. And I think of the old song, and if I were to sum up, and we may get Pat to sing.
Don't sing.
Let me sing. You remember Uncle John? Let me sing in the choir.
Yeah.
But anyhow, if I could sum it up, I think I'd sum it up in the song. I count it a privilege here, his cross. His cross
absolutely.
And that's what Paul was saying. He said, look, I count it a privilege to be trusted with this suffering and persecution. And God help us that we might in our suffering, since we're asking the question, how can I honor God in my suffering? That's the way for sure that you start. Well, you know, I just love what we're doing and appreciate Paul so much. We want to camp out there, but we got to move on to the next part, Brother Mike, if you'd honor us and the Lord by reading that section.
Well, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start with verse 12 this time. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God.
So, Paul's assurance about suffering and death. He knew that suffering was going to be his lot. But that beginning part good source where it says, so then, refers back to that whole section we just been talking about.
Absolutely. And because of these things, so then, the rest must happen.
Death worketh in us, but life in you.
That's right. That's an amazing statement when you tie that in with the rest of the verses to follow. You know, death worketh in a... I don't know about y'all, but now if I had my druthers, if I had my way, I'd say, Lord, just come on and let's just rapture me away.
Amen.
You know, just get me gone. I don't want to... Really rather not go through that door of death. I'd rather not... I mean, regardless of what we... say and what we believe, and it's the truth that, you know, death is just a door into heaven. That there's an uncertainty, an unknownness there. We don't know what we're going to. That's right. We don't know what's going to happen as we go through that door. So, Lord, just rapture me away. But I also know this, that I've watched it, and y'all have too, as people face death. A Christian, I've never seen it fail. That God, how God prepares a Christian for that ultimate moment. You know, unless it's an absolute, just an instant sudden death. But if you watch them progress toward that, and I just got to say, whether it's life or death or whatever, I want God to be glorified. And that's what I see in this. He says death is something that's got to come to us if Christ don't carry us away first in the rapture. But our death should be a symbol of his life in us. That it ought to be, again, that ultimate example of what it means to know Christ as he carries us through even death itself.
Absolutely. So, what's it cost us to be a Christian today? And I'm not being facetious or anything, but compared to Paul, Brother Pinion, what was Paul actually saying in that verse 12? About what was it? What was the commitment? His commitment to Christ going to cost him?
Well, he said, "So then, death worketh in us." He recognizes that he's a dying individual.
Sure.
And with his reputation, you know, he might get it any day.
Well, there's constantly people trying to kill him.
Oh yeah,
the threat. Was
yeah,
real.
they were out after him all
the time.
Around and he recognizes that right here, but he says, you know, on other occasions, but death then is a gain, and that's basically what he's saying here. But when he says, but life in you,
right,
talking about Jesus Christ,
absolutely,
and I don't know whether I don't go back and I'm not going back to see if this is a prayer more or less to the church at Corinth, but it sounds to me like it could very well be.
Yeah. He is talking to the church.
Yeah, I think the thing is the idea is that yes, suffering will come, yes, death will come, but it does not have the final word.
Right.
You know, it changes our perspective. If this life is all there is, and all we can anticipate is, well, some will have it good and some will have it bad and some will have it worse than others, and then you die and it's over. Well, I mean, that's pretty mm-hmm. bleak, you know, outlook, right?
It is.
But our hope is not tied to this or limited to this world. So we're able to see beyond that, and that's I think that's the idea here is that there, you know, death and suffering that is to come that we face that's inevitable in this life is not the final word.
That's what it says there, verse 14.
Absolutely.
Knowing this,
yeah,
that he which raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise up us also. So I know that if I believe, and I do, that Jesus was raised from the dead,
sure.
Why am I worried? You know, I mean, if God's going to raise him, he's going to raise me. I don't have to worry about that walking through that door, though I may suffer. There may be horrible times. But I know that same God, if he was capable of raising Jesus from the dead, he's capable of raising me from the dead.
Death can't do any more to you than it did to Jesus.
No, absolutely not.
And Paul knew, I sometimes feel sorry for myself. Somebody will not agree with me, you know, and somebody will say something that hurts my feelings a little bit or something. But Paul knew that for him, the price of his being the Christian and living for Jesus was going to be dead.
Oh, absolutely.
And when you come to the in Timothy, where Paul says, I've fought a good fight, I've finished the faith.
I've kept the faith.
Well, I think he was listening.
Henceforth, don't stop.
Okay. Henceforth.
Henceforth, there's laid up for me, what?
A crown of righteousness. Yes, sir.
And to everyone.
Who believeth also. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
He's looking for his coming.
And that's what he says there in verse 14. And shall present us with you.
Yeah.
He's writing to the church now. Hey, church, I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to, they were persecuted. And you know how Christians want to murmur and complain and fuss. Well, old Betty Sue had on a pretty dress Sunday. Mm-hmm. I wish I could have one like that. Mm-hmm. You know, then they get jealous of one another. And then, you know, old Herschel, he got a little more power than I got in the church. And, you know, that stuff is so irrelevant, so immature,
Petty,
and so
Petty,
stupid.
Petty.
And Paul is just saying, hey, boys, look, you know, this is what the real deal is. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what the real truth of the gospel is. It's not about whether Granddaddy built this church or Grandma put a lot of money and work into it. Come on, man. It's about this wonderful gospel that we have to share. And he said, I know that when one of these days he's going to raise me up just like he did Jesus and present me along with you. And with that presentation, look out, guys. There's a whole lot more behind that statement, too, because the Bible says that we are the jewels that Christ is going to present in his day. So I want to shine, baby, shine. I want to shine. I want to be one of them that he holds up and says, hey, look at this one.
What you going to do with your crown?
Oh, my goodness. It's his. It ain't mine. I don't have anything that I've earned. It's all
you're going to give it back to him.
Yeah, I'm going to give it right back to him. Cast it at his feet. If he won't take it, I'll just throw it at his feet. You know, I just want him. I just want to be there with him.
You're going to cast it at his feet.
Exactly. That's right.
But you're
going
to cast it gently and Christ-like.
We're not going to chuck it. Like softball, no. We'll lay it at his feet. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, Paul's suffering and dying had been the means in even earlier in 15, in chapter 15, in verse 31, Paul in 1 Corinthians had talked about his suffering and dying had been the means of their spiritual life, and actually here in verse 12 that's what he's saying there. So death is in us, but that's okay because life is in you. As a result of what we've gone through, then the Lord has given you eternal life, and You've got something to live for. Paul was able to say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the heart of Jesus is in what Paul keeps saying over and over in those verses. Because in that verse 15, he says, all things are for your sakes.
Exactly.
Paul's not bragging on himself when he says, what I'm doing for you. You know, he's telling the church, listen, I'm going to do what I do, and I do it, you know, for your sake, so that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Everything Paul did, he's saying, I do it for you so that God will be glorified. And to me, you know, that should be first of all, the heart of every pastor.
Right.
You know, we all understand that. I mean, you cannot pastor a church properly unless your heart is for those people that you do it. Now, number one, for the glory of God, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's the number one above everything else. But it takes sometimes some stringent, tough love as you go through situations with church folks sometimes. And you've got to have it at your heart. When those times come, you say, oh, I'd love to get that guy, you know? I mean, you can't help but have those feelings sometimes. Listen, if you belong to New Salem Baptist Church and Reform, you hear what I'm saying. I love you.
Yeah.
But sometimes you want to just go sit down with them and say, now, you just listen to me. I've got something, you know, and you just shower it out. That's not what you do. You love them into a right relationship with God. And it's sometimes not easy to do. And sometimes you gotta get a little tough with them, but you don't get that anger and that craziness. Paul said, I'll do everything I do for your sake. And like a loving, Paul was pastor of a lot of churches that he had started over the years. And this Corinthian church was just one of them. But telling them, I do it for you so that God will be glorified. And that's sometimes a tough path to follow. Mm-hmm. But it ought to also be that way, not just for the pastor. Because what you expect of your pastor, you ought to expect of yourself. You ought to be doing the same for the other people of the church. And if there's somebody you've got ought against in your church, you need to do it right now. Get on your knees, pray for that person, and get your life right and start to do what you do to help them in a right relationship in their walk with God.
Opinion, let me ask you this, because we're talking about suffering. And Paul, of course, is suffering straight directly because of his commitment to Christ. That was a part of the price of his being a
Christian. Absolutely.
But in your case, and I know, being human, we always wonder, you're going through dialysis.
Yeah.
And that ain't no cakewalk. How do you manage to have such a sweet spirit and suffer?
Brennan's sweet?
Yeah, he's sweet.
He's so nice.
Okay.
He's sweet. Yeah, you boys just hadn't seen.
They're just agging it on.
Yeah,
they know. They know both. They both know how sweet
they do. You know. But how do you keep that sweet spirit? And you see the old guy center, the old guy never goes to church. He cusses God with everything in him, and he's not having to go through dialysis. How do you maintain that suffering spirit that I see in you?
Leave him and me both to the Lord.
Amen. There you go.
Just leave them both.
No, that was too simple. I
was wanted more than that.
Complex thing.
Well, if it's any more complex than that, it'll have to come from someone else, because that's the only thing you can do, Herschel.
Amen.
Is leave it all in the hands of the Lord, because he's responsible. But now, when I start weighing it with what he has done and is doing, even in the dialysis and through the dialysis, then the only thing I have to say is just praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm still able physically to preach. Yesterday, I had a sermon.
Amen.
And preached. And I had some compliments from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can take one and make a million.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
But anyway, I just leave it in the hands of the Lord, because he knows the end as well as the present time.
Yeah.
And go from there. But now, I will be honest with you. When I first discovered that my kidneys had failed and I started dialysis, I sort of got down. But it didn't take long for the Lord to bring me back around to where he can be glorified in it.
Right.
Well, anybody that says they've never been down is not telling the truth.
No.
Because it's...
Exactly.
You can't help. That's the human side. That's the earthen vessel that Paul's talking about. And to me, that's what not only shows our humans, but it shows when God does lift us up. Well, it's that example of what he can do alone.
In your burn.
Yeah, yeah.
You got down.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And didn't stay down, though.
No. Not at all.
Now, all of us are going to get down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. About one thing or another.
That's right. Absolutely.
But we don't have to stay down.
No.
And if we're going to be what God wants us to be, mm-hmm. and do what God wants us to do,
right.
we're going to be back up.
Yes, sir.
Might be over a period of time, but we'll be back.
Sometimes it takes time.
But. Tell a little bit of why they put you in that water to rub.
Oh boy!
To get all that burnt skin off.
If that don't get your attention, you know it was. You know, I could still hear the. I tell you, I can still hear a chain rattle down. I want to just run, you know, because they would rattle those chains, you know, setting those hooks and getting that gurney that I was on and that big old tub there, they called it. But it was like a big kid swimming pool sort of thing. But and I'd be laying there. Of course, I was bandaged from head to toe because I was burned over 70% of my body. And they would lower me down into that tank and it would have it's a light, salty water to kill bacteria and so forth and let me soak in that water for a few minutes until those bandages would start to turn loose and then they called it debriding where they'd take the bandages off and then they would literally scrub the wounds to get the bacteria and infection out of there. And you know, I could pick up I could literally pick up two nurses with one arm, and you never would think, you know, you could do that. And it was tough.
But you were suffering.
But that was pain. Was pain.
But how did you have victory?
Well, because I'd start praying. They'd come in first into my room, and they'd take scissors and split those bandages, you know, so that when I went in the tank, and I would be praying, okay, God, here we go again, you know, and I had this image of a man, I called him the pain man, and I would make fun of him because he couldn't hurt me more than he did. But to me, that was an image of what mm-hmm. Satan was doing, noting that God was bigger. And God was always bigger. God always showed up bigger. And in spite of the pain, in spite of what, and I can't even start to tell you how bad it hurt.
In spite
of that pain, God was always bigger. And when it was over with, this will sound crazy, and it's got nothing to do with me. But I would witness to the old boy that was rolling me in the hallway, in the gurney down there to be scrubbed. And he got saved.
Amen.
One day walking down that hallway, he asked Christ to come into his life.
Isn't that exactly what we're talking about?
That's exactly what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't me. I had nothing to do with it. I ain't going to lie to you. They just don't need me taking credit for anything. But God, that old boy saw what was happening to me. And then he would get me and take me back to the room after they had scrubbed me and put grease all over me and bandaged me up again. And I would just lay there on that gurney just shivering, not because I was cold, but because of the pain.
Right.
And he would literally cry and talk, but he saw God in that.
Yeah.
And I would tell him about Jesus, even while I was shivering in pain, and he come to know Christ because of it. He said, that's what I want. He said, I need that. And I said, you got it, buddy, if you ask God, if you'll believe, and that's what it's about.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about the fact that, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm going to have to go down here and hurt, and I had to go through it. It wasn't anything else you could do. But God, I'm telling you, don't ever let anybody tell you otherwise. God is greater, whether it's physical pain or whether it's emotional or mental pain. God is bigger, whether it's your grandbaby suffering like you was talking about or your children, people that you love. God is bigger. He's greater, and he wants to. You know, he wants to lead you through that and strengthen you through that. Just all you got to do is what Paul said. Just let him. Yeah. Just trust him. He's
turn it over to him.
Turn it over to him.
Yeah.
Well, I think I hear you saying exactly what verse 15 said there. For all things are for your sakes.
That's it.
That the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God.
Can you imagine? Let's flip the switch on that little illustration I gave you. I was suffering. But can you imagine if that young black boy goes to hell?
Oh, my.
My little suffering in there was nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. So if I suffered that little bit, and he got saved from an eternal suffering in hell, separated from God in damnation for eternity, boy, I ain't done nothing, you know?
It's worth it.
It's worth it. For crying out loud, it was worth it. And then some.
Paul was saying, and you were saying too, folks, listen, one lesson you need to learn from this, we're going to have to move on a minute to the last part, but preachers are not exempt from pain, nor every time you see a preacher or a non-preacher suffering, it's not directly because of their personal sin.
Not at all.
That brought this on. Sometimes we won't know who's to blame. Sometimes nobody's to blame, like Jesus told them, neither the parents or him is to blame it for the glory of God.
Absolutely.
And we don't understand that. And you may be going through right now, listening to us, some terrible pain from cancer or from a wreck or from crippling disease or something else that is just unbelievable is the pain. But if you're a Christian, then you suffer it for the glory that you were given to God. If you're not a Christian, we're going to tell you in just a minute how you can be. I guess we're going to have to move on to the last part.
We better. It's getting close. And 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
So in spite of the fact that some are suffering and they know that death is whispering at the door, fixing to tap them on the shoulder, and in spite of our outward man, our physical body, perishing, the inward man, the real us, our spiritual life, our soul, is renewed daily, day by day. I don't understand all of that, but I know it's true personally, and I know it's true in the lives of
people. Absolutely. This physical body that we walk around in and so forth, that's not us. Us is... it's like myself, for instance. You know, obviously, you don't go through burns without being scarred.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the scars don't define me. They're not who I am.
No.
I didn't change because I got burned. And it's the same way with people that you meet every day that you love. We had that Eagles Wings group from over in Northport the other day. And boy, those youngins just stood up there and smiled and loved God and just shouting and praises for the Lord, you know, and even though mentally as well as physically, they were so limited. But to me, that the real them will really show up in the day of glory.
They'll shed that old...
That's right.
That old body that is in mind that has suffered. Our suffering as a Christian is for a short time when compared to eternity. And short time suffering will not cause us to give up. Our concentration during our suffering should be on the big picture, the last verses there said. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Amen.
Let's talk at this time, Brother Pinion, and share with these dear precious people We don't have it less than a minute, but tell them how they can be saved.
Well, first of all, recognize you're a sinner and cry out to God, because He saves sinners and He forgives and cleanses sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that's the only way it happens.
Call on
if
Him.
If you're going to be saved, it's going to be through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Call on Him. Join us next week, and we'll come back and we'll tell you again some things that the Bible teaches. God bless you as we leave you.